There you are, reviewing your payroll, feeling good about how your business is running, when IRS letter 226-J arrives. You open it, and it's a penalty notice for ACA noncompliance. The amount? Tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars. It turns out your company either didn't offer coverage to enough employees, or your health plan wasn't affordable. Now you're stuck trying to fix a problem that could have been avoided. If you're an applicable large employer, ALE, that means you have 50 or more full-time equivalent employees, you are legally required to provide affordable health coverage. The way the IRS checks this, they basically look to see if you have 50 or more W-2s to start with. You're likely to get a letter if you issue 60 W-2s if you don't do any of the 1095 reporting or ACA offerings that are required. Of course, if you're a larger company and you actually do fall under the law, you also have to handle it. So whether you're just someone who doesn't quite qualify, but issues more than 50 W-2s, or someone who actually falls under the applicable large employer law, you have to deal with this. If you don't, you will pay for it. There are two penalties. There's the penalty A, which is $2,900 per employee if you didn't offer coverage, or penalty B, which is now $4,350 per employee if the coverage wasn't affordable. By the way, if you're a for-profit institution, that is a non-tax-deductible expense. It comes directly out of profit. Very painful. But here's the good news. You can still get ahead of this. Welcome back to Don't HR Alone. I'm Rami Alijil, CEO of People Processes, and today I'm going to walk you through exactly what to do now to stay compliant, avoid penalties, and protect your business. Let's get into it. And if you have a minute, please like, subscribe, comment below, but especially subscribing is really going to help us out. I'd appreciate it. All right. ACA compliance isn't just a box to check. It's an active financial risk for your business, and it's significant. And let me be clear, the IRS is enforcing this. We get letters like this every year for different clients. If you haven't checked your ALE status, applicable large employer, for 2024, which is the year now that is going to affect 2025, you could already be in violation. If your health plan isn't affordable under the ACA rules, which changed significantly this year, you could owe thousands. And if you're not tracking employee hours correctly, you could be putting your company at risk by not being able to determine who's full-time, part-time, variable hour, people who get insurance or not. These penalties stack up monthly, meaning the longer you wait, the more expensive noncompliance gets. So let's break down and make sure you're on the right track. So first, confirm your applicable large employer status. If you averaged 50 or more full-time employee equivalents last year, you are an ALE this year. How do you tell? Start, count all employees who are designated full-time. So if you have people marked full-time, add them up. Then go to hourly employees, those who averaged more than 30 hours per week, they're full-time. That's it, nice and easy. Everyone else, all the people who averaged less than 30 hours per week, add up all of those part-time employees for a month, for the period you're measuring. You can measure for a 3-month period, a 6-month period, or a full year, okay? You wanna add those people up, and then divide by 120, 30 hours a week, okay, to calculate the FTEs. So you basically have to add up all their hours for the number of weeks that you're measuring, divide by the number of weeks, and then divide by 30, calculate the FTEs. So what does that mean? 3 20-hour-a-week people, okay, 20, 40, 60, is 2 full-time equivalents. If your total is 50 or more, you must comply with ACA rules. If you haven't run these numbers yet, do it now, okay? It's very, very important to determine whether you fall under this. If you're under 50, but you, let's say, have just a ton of part-timers, right? So you issue 90 W-2s every year or more, but you fall under the 50 full-time equivalent thing, you still need to be able to prove this, okay? So I want you to set this information and audit aside and check it every year, because you may get an ACA noncompliance letter with a very large penalty on it. You need to be able to reply to that with, look, 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 this doesn't apply to us. Look, I did all the math. Here's my measurement period. I looked at these 3 months. Here are the timesheets that I looked at. I don't owe this tax. Okay. If you do, you need to actually make sure the health plan you offer is meets the coverage and affordability standards we're going to go to now. To avoid penalties, your plan must cover at least 95% of full-time employees and allow dependents to take the coverage. If you offer plans that don't allow dependent coverage, you don't meet this requirement. 95% of full-time employees. It must meet minimum essential coverage requirements, MEC requirements. Almost every plan you've ever heard of from large insurers are going to do this, okay? This is things like covering ambulances, birth control, preventative medicine, all these kind of things that are required since 2009 is when the law passed. 2012, 13 is when this went into effect. If your plan says, is a modern plan, you got no issue. Now, what does that mean? A church health plan, right? A voluntary organization of people who decide to share health costs almost definitely do not meet that MEC requirement. Second, it must provide minimum value, offering plans that cover at least 60% of the expected medical costs actuarially. You'll know that it's one of those because you can look and see its metal tier. The bronze plan is defined as a plan that's expected to cover 60% of expected medical costs. Silver is 70, gold is 80, platinum is 90. Okay. So if you don't see a metal tiering on your plan, or you ask your broker and say, hey, what metal tier are we? And they don't give you one, then it may not be providing minimum value. Now, the third piece is be affordable. Now, MEC and MV, minimum value and minimum essential coverage, have been in place for a long time. Affordability has been in place for a while too, but the percentage changes and it dropped like crazy for 2025. It is now 9.02% of their income. So if you have a full-time employee, right, who's going to be eligible for coverage and they make just $1,500 a month, $9 an hour or something, okay, you cannot charge more than 9.02% of that amount. 140 bucks, 135 ballpark, in order for individual employee coverage. Okay. Affordability guidelines do not apply to spouses and dependents. It's purely for the employee itself. And that's what you have to offer, a MEC plan that provides minimum value and is affordable, 9.02% of their income. If you look at your health insurance and you don't do that, you don't provide health insurance, you don't let full-time employees take it, you don't cover dependents, it's not one of the kind of more modern plans, and you offer it at a rate that's unaffordable, then you're going to face penalties. If any of your employees turn down coverage because it's too expensive, right, over 9.02% of their income, when they go and get health insurance elsewhere, it's asked, does your employer offer health insurance? Yes. Is it affordable? If they mark no on there, this is on healthcare.gov or the various state exchanges or Medicaid offices, then you get the penalty letter. Okay, so you have to be able to prove this. You need to run that affordability test. You can use either W-2 wages, rate of pay wages, or there's a federal poverty level safe harbor method that is least likely to be useful. Probably what you want to do is look at the rate of pay and actually calculate out gross pay. That's going to be the most advantageous to you. Alternatively, for a quick check, you can use the W-2 wages, often a good place to start. So if you don't meet these criteria, you need to make changes immediately or risk those penalty B fines. So let's talk about the biggest compliance mistakes I see. One is all full-time employees have to be offered health insurance, right? Or 95% of them. Don't screw up the classification there. If you mark someone as part-time when they should be full-time, then sure, you'll face a penalty, but you run into major compliance risks if they were to get very sick. Okay. If they're to be very sick and they're looking for someone to find someone to pay that bill, a decent lawyer is going to ask them, how much do you work? Okay. And if they average more than 30 hours a week and you've called them part-time, then the problem is you owe them insurance, but you don't have insurance. So you can actually be on the hook for their medical bills. Not good. Not good. So don't misclassify people. Another thing to take out is seasonal employees. There's no real seasonal discount in this. There's a couple different ways to structure your measurement period. to give you a little bit of grace there. But as it is, just because they're only going to work for you for 6 months doesn't mean they aren't required to be offered coverage. Okay, so keep an eye on your seasonal employees. And if you're not tracking and documenting those things, you're just wide open to the audit. Remember, you have to be able to prove this. So make sure to use a good measurement period and ensure proper classification to avoid those unexpected penalties. Now, those two penalties, penalty A, that's the you didn't offer coverage fine. If you didn't offer health insurance to at least 95% of full-time employees, you're going to get the $2,900 per employee penalty minus the first 30 employees. Okay? So if you have 70 employees and you missed compliance, your penalty would be over $116,000. Not fun. Penalty B is your coverage wasn't affordable fine. If your plan was too expensive or didn't meet minimum value, you will owe $4,350 per employee affected. So if 10 employees were affected, that's a $43,500 penalty. Okay, so that's like $380 a month. You could have probably just offered them health insurance, right? Or you could pay that penalty. So those are your two penalties. When you get your coverage letter, or when you get your letter from the IRS, it's going to lay out, I have 100 employees under penalty A and 40 employees under penalty B, and you have to address them both. So what to do right now to avoid ACA penalties? Confirm your ALE status, right? Run the 50-plus employee equivalent test from last year. Review your health plan. Make sure it meets those minimum value and max standards. Ask your broker. And then review your payroll against it to make sure it meets affordability thresholds. Make sure no employee pays more than 9.02% of income for individual coverage. Next, check your employee classifications. Make sure your part-timers, seasonal, are correctly allocated and that they shouldn't be full-time, right? And then document everything. If audited, you need records proving that compliance. If you're not sure whether your plan is compliant, people processes can help. It's very easy on our side. This is what we deal with all day. So employers, ACA just isn't optional. It's not going to go away at this time. It's been defended by the new administration when he was president last time and this one. They're not just going to let it go. If you want to avoid penalties, stay compliant, and protect your business, download our free ACA pay or play checklist below on the description. It'll actually kind of walk all the kind of tests that I just talked about through, so you can check it out inside your own company. If you need expert guidance, just book a 30-minute consultation with me. You need to be a U.S. business with more than 10 employees, hopefully more than 50 if you're worried about ACA, and I'll talk with you about it. We'll review your ACA risk and help you build a strategy to stay compliant without overpaying. There's a lot of ways to do this without blowing the budget. Make sure to subscribe to the Don't HR Alone podcast for more insights on compliance, HR best practices, and avoiding costly mistakes. Drop a comment below. I see every single one of them, and I'd love to help. I appreciate it. Thank you for today. Thanks for tuning in. And now it's time to go out there and get your work done.